titled, Where There Is No Vision. Now, if I'd ask you the rest of that, when this appears on a cassette or in the magazine, they'll say, the title will be, Where There Is No Vision, dot, dot, dot. That means it's incomplete. Of course, if you finish that, where there is no vision, the people perish. But that's enough said, where there is no vision, and the result is the people perish. From Proverbs 29 and 18, Proverbs 29, 18, where there is no vision, the people perish. But he that keepeth the law, happy is he. If you keep God's law, you're happy. Where there is no vision, the people perish. A man of God to lead God's people, and there's too many preachers trying to lead God's people that don't have a vision. A true man of God that's led by a vision and driven by a vision will be made strong by a vision and motivated by a vision from the Lord. In the Bible, when a man of God was called for a specific purpose, set aside for a specific purpose for God and his people, that man saw a vision, like the Apostle Paul in Acts the 9th chapter. He was on his way to bind the saints when all of a sudden there came a light from heaven. And I like the words that he used in his testimony in Acts the 26th chapter, because you read the narration of it there in Acts 9. You read it in two more places where Paul tells about his great heavenly vision. In Acts 26:19, Paul is on trial before King Agrippa, and he makes this statement. He said, Whereupon, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient unto the heavenly vision. Now, where a man of God does not have a heavenly vision, the people that follow him will perish. And I'll tell you, there's a lot of Christians today are perishing because the preachers that are leading them are leading them astray. Most preachers today lead God's people back into the world, into Egypt. They don't lead them on with God to be holy, to be sanctified, to be spirit-filled, to crucify the flesh, to live like the Bible says, and to use every word of God instead of just taking a few little delicate morsels here and there. No, they start explaining it away, why the Bible doesn't mean what it says. Where it says, he that committed sin is of the devil. You hear the average preacher say that, said, well, that means if you just run around and practice sin. That ain't what it says, no such a thing. Why don't we believe what it says? The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 15 to 34, awake to righteousness and sin not. But some have not the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame. And preachers come along, even these old modern perverted Bibles that they call paraphrases and such like today. And they change that and it says, I write these things that you will try hard to quit sinning. Now, isn't that something? The Bible didn't say no such a thing. It said, just don't sin. And it says, he that committed sin is of the devil. But preacher says, oh, that doesn't mean what it says, beloved. Why, the lying rascals, they lead more people back to Egypt and into hell than Philadelphia lawyers are. They don't have a vision. They're not driven of anything but money. Money's their motivator. God, have mercy sakes. Paul the Apostle wasn't motivated by money. He said, I wasn't disobedient unto the heavenly vision, but I showed first unto them of Damascus and at Jerusalem and throughout all the coast of Judea, and then to the Gentiles, that what? That they should repent and turn to God and do works meet for repentance. Works to show you've repented. Isn't that what John the Baptist preached in the first gospel message of the age of grace? Matthew the 3rd chapter? Don't tell me you're repented, John says. Show me you're repented. Bring forth some fruit that's worthy of repentance. Now, I just believe, I just confess. You can confess and believe till your head falls off. Unless you repent and do works that's necessary for repentance, you don't get nowhere with God. You might claim to, but that is not a fact. You'll never live holy. You'll never be victorious. You'll never get to heaven. That kind of religion is vain. And everywhere Paul makes any statement at all, it's always about repentance. Back in the 20th chapter of Acts, that vision drove him. When he was testifying to the elders at Ephesus on his last journey, this was his last missionary journey as a free man. Verses 20 and 21, he says, I have kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly and from house to house, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. In everywhere you heard anything about the Apostle Paul and any of those apostles, they had the word on their lips foremost was repent. Good Lord have mercy. Any man's driven by a vision is going to teach that. Well, the fact remains is a vision gives a man of God stability. If you've got a heavenly vision, a man of God won't backslide like these modern preachers do. They start off, it seems right, and the longer you hear them, like Brother Oral, starts off preaching about Delilah with Samson's head in his lap. Run! It's for your life, man! Shoot. He's ashamed of anything he ever did now. And people still, here he come along, tiki, tiki, tiki. Well, my God, if a man backslides, you don't follow him. You don't follow a man, you follow Christ. And if a man quits preaching the truth, you leave him. God have mercy, dumb Americans. Oh, that was a great man. So what? There's been a lot of folks great, but they backslide. They turn back on God. They didn't have a heavenly vision to begin with, because a heavenly vision gives you stability, and the older you get, the stronger you'll get. Now, why don't you get one? Get fired up. Praise God. I listened to tapes I made 10 years ago for radio. I got them laying aside in there. I'm getting ready to preach them over. Why? I'm not like these modern preachers. Their tapes 10 years ago sounded 10 times better than they do today. You can listen to Billy Graham's or Roberts, any of them. If you get them 20 years ago, you'd get a good message. But you ain't going to get none good today. They don't preach good today. But no, they wouldn't mention repentance. Their life depended on it. All right, what are you going to do about it? Still follow a man? No. You follow Jesus and the Word of God. Lord, have mercy sakes in this world. The older you get, the stronger a man ought to get. We ought to be like Elisha when he died. Here come the king down to see him. The Bible said Elisha fell sick of an illness whereof he died. And the king of Israel came down to see him. And he looked at him. Boy, there he was, laying there on the bed, dying. He said, my father, the chariots of Israel and the horsemen thereof. That meant, swing low, sweet chariot. They're coming for to carry you home. That's what they meant. Grim reaper's coming by. And he said, hey, get out your arrows. Old Elisha raised up in bed one more time. He said, come here. Let me get a hold of that arrow and you too with that bow. And he got the king's bow and arrow. Both of them got a hold of it. He said, shoot it. And away it went, said the arrow of God's deliverance. Praise God. Lord have mercy. The older a man gets, the more fired up he ought to get. The more dogmatic he ought to get. The more stable he ought to get. He would if he had a heaven-sent vision. You ain't seen none of these men in the Bible get no weak knees just because they got old, they got stronger. I listen to some of those tapes I made 10 years ago, and I think, woo, boy, I can preach better than that. That's a sorry experience when a man's messages get weaker and punier, and he gets weaker and punier and less dogmatic for God's word and for right and screaming his head off against sin. You don't know an American preacher. Ain't none of you can look me in the eye and tell the truth and say you know an American preacher that used to be a well-noted, known man and a great man in the eyes of the public that has got stronger. Every one of them has degenerated.